Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29, 1998.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or a good morning, as the case may be, across this great land of ours and well beyond, to the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands in the west, commercially in the east, all the way out to the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, good morning in St. Thomas, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet, thanks to Broadcast.com. Thank you, Broadcast.com. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. I would like to welcome back WCMY in Ottawa, Illinois. Welcome back, everybody. And as well, WPHB in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome back. Glad to have you all on board. We have an interesting program, to say the least, for you tonight. Coming up in the next hour is Robert Ghostwolf, and there is going to be specific evidence of some of the seven thunders that Robert Ghostwolf talks about. That'll be next hour, and that's one of those, if you don't want to hear it kind of things, you should leave the room, turn off the radio, go to bed, have a hot toddy and disappear for a while. Because they are not the seven suggestions, they are the seven thunders. We'll talk more about that. Tomorrow night, we're going to have quite a show, if it all happens. Paul Doerr from Great Britain on with Richard C. Hoagland. Anybody who's been following that and the EQ Pegasi controversy from the Pegasus system knows about Paul Doerr and Richard Hoagland. And then we're going to follow on with Mr. Stevens, Robert A.M. Stevens, a NASA contractor, former Navy SEAL, and Richard Hoagland. All antagonists, but it should be an extremely, extremely interesting evening, and we'll just see what comes of it. That is scheduled for tomorrow night, and then the following night, nothing but predictions from you, which we probably will carry through to at least the first day of the new year, you know, following the weekend. So there you have it. News, let me see. News, what is new? Boosted by massive state spending on public works, China's economy grew by, are you prepared? I told you this was going to happen. 7.8% this year. 7.8%. Now, that is astounding. And I am telling you, watch out for China. In every way you can imagine, watch out for China. Their economy is... I was in China a couple of years ago, and I got to see, if you were to see what I saw, you would be scared, be very scared. They are going to be the leaders of the world, if not in our generation, very shortly. And we will either follow, join in, or be left out. And that's hard for Americans to hear and hard for Americans to understand. But the massive numbers of Chinese, as China moves into the industrial age, you can't imagine the scale of what is going on in China. I saw it personally. King Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia refused Wednesday to approve amnesty for two leaders of the genocidal Khmer Rouge, so they're going to go after them, I guess. Bill Clinton, our prez, may go on trial beginning the 7th of January. More likely, presentation of evidence beginning the 11th of January. I wonder who's going to carry it. And I wonder when they're going to make the deal. Because everybody knows two-thirds of the Senate is not going to convict the prez. So when do they introduce the deal? Now, the U.S. And Britain vowed Tuesday to keep patrolling Iraqi skies in the face of fresh threats by Saddam Hussein. Now, what am I missing here? We just bombed the holy you-know-what out of him. Cruise missiles to the point, by the way, I've got a story here. By attacking Iraq earlier this month, this is from abcnews.com, the U.S. military may have actually bombed its way into a shortage of cruise missiles. Pentagon planners, already dealing with tightening budgets, must now decide whether to spend the millions it takes to replace these weapons or wait for the next generation. But what did we do? Can anybody out there tell me what we did? In other words, if anything, Saddam Hussein is now more threatening. He's shooting at our airplanes. He's now saying he no longer respects the no-fly zones. And, I don't know. It's like we're Rodney Dangerfield. We get no respect. Our missiles bring no respect. And we fired so many, we're almost out of them. So what did we accomplish? I'm not exactly sure. How about you? Y2K. From Ottawa, international underwriters insuring multi-million dollar airplanes have agreed to cover Canadian carriers for January 1st, 2000. The insurance industry has a millennium bug exclusion clause on airline policies, which essentially would have kept the planes on the ground. But months of investigations persuaded insurers that airplanes would achieve year 2000 compliance in time for the date change. So we shall see. And this is kind of an interesting article. Those who are expecting chaos at 12:01 January 1st need to rethink it. This is from thestreet.com, ABC News. Again, if you plan to stay up on New Year's Eve, 99, in the hope you'll witness massive chaos at 12:01, don't waste your time. Just 8% of system failures will occur during the actual rollover. The remaining, get this folks, 92% will spread out over 1999, 2000, and 2001. So the dates to look out for, obviously, January 1st, 1999. The euro is due to be introduced, you know, the single currency. There is going to be some computer problems involved with that. The first working day of 1999 is one to watch out for. Software applications that make projections may have problems on this day or January 1st. There will be scattered failures throughout 99 and 2000 and on and on. Kind of interesting, huh? So Y2K is not going to be an event as much as we think it is on the exact moment of the exact day. It's going to be kind of spread out over a period of time. An Oregon man who lost his boots in deep mud while running away from the police was arrested in a rural outhouse. That's right, an outhouse, where he was reportedly frantically using toilet paper to create a makeshift pair of shoes. Police in the town of Amity say they were trying to pull over a 23-year-old fellow on suspicion of drunken driving when he allegedly fired at them. Bad form, do not fire at police, and led them on a chase. Several charges are pending. Now, I wonder what kind of shoes you could construct of toilet paper if you had to. All right, open lines, with that raggedy thought in mind, coming up directly ahead.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do. And shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
All right, this is in and kind of interesting. I have no idea what it means, but I do know Matt Drudge. He's a nice guy. I've had him on the show, I think, once. And I just got a message from Dave in San Jose who says, "Hey, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but Drudge has said on WABC, where he has a show, he will break the biggest story ever, which is big for Drudge, in 2 weeks. He says it will shake up the whole world. He's on record as saying it has nothing to do with politics. Used phrases like, quote, after the dust settles, we will assess the impact, end quote, shake up the whole world, end quote. Gotta make you wonder what Matt Drudge has. Maybe I should be making a call. What's got, Matt? What do you have out there, Matt? You might give me a call and let me know, or I'll get on the phone and call you. That certainly is intriguing. The biggest story ever broken that has nothing to do with politics. After the dust settles. What do you think he could mean? All right, anyway, to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Going once. Going twice. Gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Bell, I thought you were coming to New York. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I will get to New York.
Definitely. You making a promise now to Curtis Sliwa?
I don't make promises to Curtis. I'm making promises to New York, not Curtis.
Well, you're going to come on the show, aren't you?
I never said anything like that.
Oh, well, you said that you might.
I said I might. And I might. You never know. I might do anything. But what I will do is I'll come to New York.
Cool. You know your prediction show you're going to have?
Yes.
When you take a look at number 31.
Yes, sir.
That was my prediction last year, and you're going to laugh at it. All right?
All right. Well, we open the Bell Family Vault, as you well know, and dredge them out and read them back. So I will remember yours as number 31.
Okay, Mr. Bell.
All right. Take care. First time caller line. Oops, you would have been on the air. You're a dial tone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. First
time caller. I don't know. I just memorized this number from a while back.
Oh, you did?
Yes, indeed.
Well, you're on the air.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, I need to say hi to Robert in Fairbanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Yo,
excellent.
Robert.
Hey, and now, the outhouse and the, toilet paper?
Yeah.
If you had a roll of duct tape, you'd have something.
Yeah, but toilet paper.
That's difficult.
Yeah, you know, out in the woods with the rocks and the sticks and stuff, I don't think so.
You know, I grew up with one. I was thinking, you need some really, really narrow feet. Gotta go.
Alright, you take care. Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. How would you, I guess if you wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped, still though, it's going to tear right away. Wasn't the brightest move. And it must have made quite a, too bad the police, when they actually whipped the door open, presuming they did, didn't get a picture of that. Would have been a good picture. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art. David Packerland calling you, buddy.
How you doing?
Good. I'm training a new guy here at 7-Eleven here in Milwaukee. Here, the Mike guy, he says hi to you. He's listening to you in North Carolina.
Well,
we're both
there.
Listening to you tonight. I got him hooked on the show tonight.
It's warmer in North Carolina.
4 degrees here right now.
Is it really?
It's 4 degrees, Art. It's freezing over here, buddy.
You can have it. It's 40 degrees here.
I'll email you, or I'll airmail it to you. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a couple things for you today.
Sure.
I called you. First of all, I think we should do that that Satan hotline again. The one you did with the Antichrist hotline. It's been a while since you've done that.
You're quite correct, and I have it planned for the new year. We will, of course, do an Antichrist line.
Excellent line. And the other thing is, I was going to ask you is,
or maybe even a satanic line.
Well, that I think we should. I think we might get some interesting
actual believers and followers of Satan. How would that be?
We better watch out, though, because their forces might gang up against their Bell forces, and they could, like, put you to the dark side. Who knows?
Hey, listen, they've been ganging up on us for a long time now.
Hey, a couple other things. I'm going to let you go
sure.
and talk to other people. That guy calls about Curtis Lee. I'm getting sick of that guy. I hope you run Curtis Lee off the radio so we can listen to you everywhere, and this guy won't call you anymore and bother you with that kind of stuff. And
well, Curtis, apparently, now, of course, I don't hear WABC.
I don't
here,
either. I'm in Milwaukee.
But the indicators are that Curtis has dedicated his life to me and mm-hmm. talking about me on the radio. And all I can say about that is, if that's true, and it apparently is, judging from the number of messages I get, then he must not have much of a life.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. Hey, you have a happy New Year, and wish Ramona the same, and many good luck in the future.
All right, take care. And by the way, oh, yes, I put a photograph, I think a great photograph. During the holidays, we went down and visited Ramona's mom in California. And when I was there, I snagged a photograph of Ramona in her 20s. And last night I put it up on the website. So if you want to see something, I think it's a very pretty picture of myself. It's up on the website right now at www.artbell.com. And it is kind of an interesting picture of her in her 20s. And so there you have it. Ramona in her 20s on the website. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, how are you doing? This is Suleiman Art calling from Richmond, California, listening to you on 560 AM KSFO.
KSFO, the monster in San Fran. Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a comment in regards to the doctor that you had on last night in regards to the alien entity that he had captured and allegedly terminated. I think that...
he thought he terminated it.
Ah.
You remember it got into the freezer?
Yeah.
And then came reanimated, that was my phrase. And then the part that really got me last night was, the thing crawled out of the freezer, he said, and then crawled back in by itself. That one really got me.
You know what? that kind of angered me because I thought of myself, you know, if we were in the place of that particular entity and we were on another planet and we were involved in a scenario like that where our life, you know, was in jeopardy and somebody stuck us inside of a doggone refrigerator or a freezer.
Maybe the alien thought it was supposed to be in there. And
listen, I don't.
God, it's horrible.
I don't think so.
Horrible.
But Art, I have something interesting to tell you, though.
Yes.
There are people that have been abducted, and I've heard of different cases where they have been given a particular cosmic language that they speak, and they have been told that some can understand what they are saying. There are two types of individuals, those that actually speak it and those that can interpret it. And I think that you ought to open up a line in the future allowing individuals with that particular knowledge to communicate to each other, utilizing your show.
Sounds intriguing to me.
Okay. Listen, you have a blessed 1999, and my prayers are with you and your family.
One thing's for sure, sir. It's going to be a hell of a year.
I believe it.
All right. See you later.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. 99. Yes, it is 1999, the year before the rollover. It's going to be a wild year. Absolutely a wild year. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Damn, I don't believe it.
Well, damn, you are here.
Hey, Art, how are you?
Just fine. Where are
you? I'm in Antioch, Illinois, right between Chicago and Milwaukee, listening to WTMJ Radio, 620 AM on your dial.
Yes, sir.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and yours, and I hope everything is well.
And to all.
And I got a question. I'm glad you're having Robert Ghostwolf on tonight. I hope you can ask him about the Sphinx or the pyramid that he found in the Rocky Mountains.
We will do that.
Okay, I haven't heard anything. And for Alex Collier, hey, he's only got 2 days left with a huge flyby that's supposed to be happening.
Well, I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, he's only got 2 days left. I've been anxiously awaiting it with my hula hoop.
Well, the thing to do is call back in 3 days.
There you go. Hey, Art, one more comment on that drunk that the cops were chasing in Oregon.
Can you imagine that, trying to make shoes out of toilet paper?
Well, it just goes to show you, when it comes to alcoholics, they don't know which end is up when it comes to used toilet paper. Have a good one, Art. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. I, of course, have a copy of the top 10 stories in 1998 from the Associated Press. I also have a copy of the top 10 UFO-related news stories of 1998. But we'll hold these both for our show about predictions. That's coming up at the end of this week, toward the end of this week. This gives the you, the audience, the chance to make a numbered prediction that will be recorded and put in the Bell Vault for a year and then dredged out to embarrass those who made it last year. Or perhaps, in some cases, to praise them. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
From the front page of the San Francisco Examiner and from the Science Writer, I think it's Kay Davidson. If you thought San Francisco's mega blackout was bad, just wait until mid-2000 when our old friend the sun turns against us. Like Norman Bates in Psycho, the sun goes a little crazy now and then by hurling million-degree fireballs and star-sized electrically charged clouds toward Earth. Its next celestial fit is likely to come in mid-2000, possibly even as early as next summer, and could bring continent-sized power outages, global cell phone screw-ups, and other techno-mishaps that could make the December blackout in San Francisco look like a burned-out refrigerator light bulb. He goes on, quote, "We're more vulnerable to such electrical cataclysms than we used to be because of the increasing interconnection of society." Certainly right about that. He is one of many scientists who study the sun's 11-year bouts of manic depressive behavior. I don't know why I would have used that phrase. "Consider the new power grids used by deregulated utilities seeking cheap electrical power. The lines extend thousands of miles, linking Canadian hydroelectric dams to Southern California. The bigger they are, the harder they fall," goes an old saying, and nothing illustrates that better than these super long power lines, which could go, quote, "as dead as dried noodles during a big solar storm." The results? Imagine being stuck in a Muni Tunnel, that's San Francisco, talk for hours, or eating melted ice cream from an on-the-blink fridge, all because the sun has just undergone one of its periodic nervous breakdowns. Its next peak of violence, technically known as solar maximum, is expected in mid-2000. There you have it, and it's interesting that the sun should be the subject, because it's going to be discussed by Robert Ghostwolf shortly, our son.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Hey, did you know that banks are going to begin profiling customers? Now, what does that mean? Well, what it means, if it's true, is that banks are going to be, at the behest of the FDIC, they're going to begin looking at your habits of deposit and withdrawal, and they may begin reporting any unusual activity in your account, profiling customers. Now, wonder why they'd be doing that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Bill.
Yes, that's me.
Ah, great. I was talking with my brother the other day, and he was telling me about another thing for that, just short of Y2K, an old thing with the computers. They were set up to end of line at 9999. That's September 9th, 99.
Really?
Yes. He said that here in San Jose, we have what we call the Blue Cube over here near Moffett Field, and it's set up on a very old computer that's been updated and updated and updated. And he was telling me that, and this is the one that tracks the satellites.
Yeah.
And that one, basically, some of the old codes go clear back to a long time ago. And the old end of line is September 9th. 99. Could come sooner.
Well, I just read a story that suggested only 8% of what's going to happen will actually happen January 1st. The other 92% will be spread over this coming year and 2000.
Yeah, I thought this was quite interesting, too. It, you know, it's another twist. I thought you'd like to know about it.
I very, very much... appreciate your call, and I think you're dead correct. Thank you. I'm telling you all, it may not be as bad as Ed Yorden thinks. It may not be as bad as Gary North thinks, or it may be. But if it's only 20% as bad as Gary North thinks, then all of you should be making preparations, basic preparations, a little bit of food, a little bit of water. Some sort of communications and light, alternative energy, something to keep you warm or cool dependent upon your needs. I think that, to use the old George Bush, it's the prudent thing to do kind of statement, I think that really applies here now, really applies. On my international line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Eric. I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Hello, Eric.
Hi. I just wanted to mention, I heard something that you were interested about, stories about cancer, and I heard a recent story which is very encouraging. In Calgary, they're doing some research on this virus that only attacks cancer cells and leaves all the other cells alone with no side effects. They've...
Well, that's the kind of work that I was interested in. They're also doing at Sloan Kettering and down at the John Wayne Cancer Center in Orange, California, work with cancer inoculations. In other words, they actually, for example, take a sample of the melanoma from you, and they modify it in some way, and then inject it back into you, and it goes to work on those particular cells.
But the nice thing about this virus is that it has no side effects, and it leaves all the other cells alone. And the nice thing is it works on just about every cancer. I think there's only a couple that it won't really work effectively on, but just about everything else in the animal studies which were very, very successful. And in not too distant future, they're going to be starting up the human studies on it, and it sounds very promising.
I think we're closing in on something.
I really do. I think the virus one sounds really interesting because it's like it's kind of like targeting. It's got a built-in homing device that goes right for the cancer. So.
Well, it is. You're right. Thank you. It is exactly the same idea as the inoculation. It's a specific target. I mean, we have been slamming cancer with a sledgehammer. It's like this little gnat down there, and we've been hitting it with a sledgehammer called radiation and chemotherapy. And, of course, that kills. It kills everything in sight, including sometimes the patient before the cancer gets them. So we need something that more specifically targets cancer, and that is what the latest research is working on. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Mike in Phoenix listening to K-Rocks 97.3 FM.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was listening to your comments about how we keep attacking Iraq and they just won't get the hint.
Well, you know, I mean, we attacked them because they wouldn't let the inspectors do their job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just blew the hell out of them. And now they're getting ready to kick out the inspectors. They're firing at our planes that are in the no-fly zones, north and south.
Right.
And they're being more cantankerous than they were before we bombed them.
Well, it's defiance for one thing, and arrogance and ego and a few other things. But, you know, I wanted to comment.
So what did we accomplish, though?
There's evidently no real strategy. One of the worst things that could happen was...
I mean, we fired $350 million or more worth of missiles at them.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Well, they know we don't want to... have to occupy the country. I mean, that would be the worst possible
scenario. I agree with you. Yes, of course.
But what I wanted to comment on, did you ever see the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Absolutely.
You remember the Black Knight at the crossing where he first cuts off the Black Knight's arm?
I do.
And then he cuts off the other arm.
I do.
And the knight starts kicking at him, so he cuts off one leg, so the knight tries to headbutt him. That Black Knight reminds me of Iraq.
Well, but you know, it's because we keep doing only a little bit of the job.
Exactly.
And apparently we only want him limping. We don't want him really mortally wounded.
Well, King Arthur didn't either, but eventually just plain had to, in disgust, ride off and leave him sit there. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think anybody...
The only difference is that King Arthur wouldn't... his expectation would be when he just rode off and left him there, he would not begin with whatever limbs he had left, concocting poison gas, little germs that could wipe out the world, and nuclear weapons.
Well, exactly. My point is that the knight just plain, he was defiant, the Black Knight, he wouldn't give up, and I think that's what you've got with Iraq, and even there will always be somebody there, somebody in the background, some group, a terrorist or otherwise. It's just about no matter what you do with them, I think that someone is going to, that resentment is going to continue. And it's going to be another 2,000-year problem, as many of the problems are in that. You know, I mean, look at look at Yugoslavia, the Serbs, and you know, the tribal warfare.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know that there's an answer, and other than just playing to an occupation force, and that's a nightmare. The thought of that. So, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just one of those problems that'll either have to resolve itself or you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, this really, thank you, it is a very good question. What are we going to do about Iraq? What are What are we going to do? Now, they made a claim that they may have knocked back his ability to manufacture weapons of mass destruction by a year, but I'm not sure I believe that. I think an awful lot of what he's been doing has been moved underground, into mountains, that kind of thing. And one way or another, I have a feeling there's going to be kind of a final conflict with Iraq. I don't know when it's going to come, but in the meantime, I'm not sure this last bout with Saddam did a damn bit of good. In fact, it probably worsened the case. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Ed from Madison calling.
Hi, Ed.
Hi. I remember a while back, before I think you started talking about Y2K, you had said that if the asteroid was coming to slam into Earth, you'd do an end-of-the-world show.
Oh, absolutely.
So I was wondering, on New Year's Eve 1999, are you planning to be on the air that day, or...?
Absolutely. I want to see what happens. I mean, I want to see if when midnight comes, I'm here or off the air or what happens. It may well be that nothing happens. I just read an article, you must have heard it,
right,
that said that only 8% of the impact is going to occur at that moment. What's the other 92% will spread out over this year and next.
What's your prediction for what happens this New Year's?
Oh, this year?
Yeah, this year.
I have no idea. None. My prediction is that I hope we get through the night, because I've got to go see Neil Diamond the following evening.
All right, well, enjoy the concert, Art.
All right, thank you very much. Don't have to go see him. Want to go see him. Have wanted to see Neil Diamond all my life. And we got tickets, I mean, boom, just like that. Thank you, Alan. And so that's what I'm going to be doing New Year's Day. Neil Diamond. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art. It's great to listen to you. Actually, I usually listen to you on that weirdo Sliwa's station, but I hope the new year brings a little sense to him and he cuts out his show.
Well, let me stop you. Now, since you do listen to Curtis and you're back
I don't actually listen to his show. I listen to you on his station.
Oh, I see. I see.
But I'm always prepping up for your show, so the last 5 minutes of his show, he's usually grandstanding about you.
I see. Well, then apparently it is true. I keep getting these messages saying he is devoting his life to me on the air, in essence.
Yeah.
Coming after me all the time.
Okay, my name is Alan, out of the New York area. I guess I listen to you on 77 WABC.
And you're calling on a digital cellular phone.
That's correct. You guessed right.
Mm-hmm.
or you know right. I'm a traveling salesman, and I passed through Gary, Indiana last week, and I heard something very strange.
What was that?
About a person who was found burned to death in his car. Only the insides of the car were affected. The outside of the car had absolutely no signs of anything going wrong. And they just saw the car on the side of the road.
Are they regarding this as a case of spontaneous combustion?
Well, they didn't say that exactly. They were just saying that the police said the eerie part of it was is that they have no indication of mechanical, anything mechanical going wrong to have caused it.
Mm.
So they're, you know, looking for a car that may have been in the area at the time of this supposed accident.
Well, if it was spontaneous combustion, it would be the second case in about a month, because I read one just a little while ago.
But it would be interesting to hear, because that's all I heard about on the news, and after that I never heard about it again. I don't even remember. It was a station out of Gary, Indiana.
Do you have any idea, in your imagination, using your imagination, how a human being could suddenly burst into flames?
It gives me the creeps just thinking about it.
Yeah. Me too. We have been described as mostly sacks of water. And
mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't think that we could catch fire. And
no, I wouldn't think so.
But there have been cases. All right, thank you very much.
One more thing.
Oh, yes?
I just wanted to surmise that you were mentioning last night quite a few times about why Bill Clinton may have made such a grand announcement about the Y2K being fixed as far as Social Security is concerned.
Yes.
And my suggestion is that this is part of his overall MO, where if anything does go wrong, he shouldn't be looked at for blame, because, after all, he said it was all taken care of, or so the Social Security Department says so. But that doesn't tell us about all the other incidentals regarding the Y2K problem.
Actually, it does, in a way. The fact that he would come out and specifically single out Social Security and say, guess what, it's wonderful, we've got it fixed, makes you wonder about everything else.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, exactly is right. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. KOH 50,000 watts of power out of Reno, Nevada.
Yes, sir.
Art, without Drudge giving away his secret that's going to happen in 2 weeks, I was wondering if you might ask him if this is going to be a very great story. Should a person save a little gold or silver or get their money out of their banks or get some provisions that the rest they can live with?
What would you guess? If you had to guess, I mean, Drudge, first of all, is pretty straightforward. When he says something, he generally can back it up. That's what I found. And so when he says he's got an earth-shaking story inside of 2 weeks that is non-political, what do you imagine?
Non-political.
Yeah.
I missed that part. I don't know. I would, but I'll be ready.
All right, it's entitled Biggest Story Ever Will Shake the Whole World, Matt Drudge.
Huh.
And it will shake up the whole world, on record as saying it has nothing to do with politics. Use phrases like, after the dust settles, we will assess the impact and shake up the whole world. Now, what do you imagine that could be?
Well, if it's not political, I don't know what it would be. But have you got any clues?
No. I've just got email.
That's all I got, too.
All right.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you very much. And I'm very curious, Matt, what do you have? I guess I should give Matt a call. What in the world would be earth-shaking but non-political? Because generally, not entirely, but generally Matt has reported on, you know, the political world. The world of Clinton, the world of politics in general, and I'm trying to figure out what would be that earth-shaking as far as Matt Drudge is concerned, that he would promote it 2 weeks ahead of time as one of the biggest stories in the world. Fascinating. All right, here's where we take a break at the top of the hour. And when we come back, Robert Ghostwolf, Native American, Robert Ghostwolf is here. And keyword, our son. We'll be right back. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. And this, of course, is the one and only Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
He made this way. I can't survive. I can't stay alive.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Good morning, or good evening, if you are to the west of me, here or to the west. In these many time zones, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Robert Ghostwolf is just around the corner. Robert Ghostwolf is Mate. He is of mixed blood, Native American origin. He's been here before. I will kind of have him run down his background for you. One thing he is known for is that which you are listening to, by name at least, Ghost Dance and Native American Prophecy. And we're going to be talking about all of that. Something called the Seven Thunders tonight. So I warn you, this kind of information can be very disturbing to some people. Children probably should not be listening. They should be in bed by now anyway. Even adults who are disturbed by prophecy, which can sometimes be worrisome, should probably turn off their radios, have a hot toddy, and go to bed. For the rest who are not afraid to at least listen, Robert Ghostwolf will be here shortly.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Not everything is cut and dry, and I think people will look at events and say who profits, who benefits, and then they back into it with their theories, which many people would say are conspiracies. I mean, there's no question there's a facet of government that wants to take guns off the street. Not just assault weapons, but pure right. guns. They want to get them out of Americans' hands. In order to do that, you need tragedies and events like we had in Connecticut in order to create the stimulus to get the legislature and people behind that in order to say, you know what, they're right, we don't need this, we don't need that. So I think when you look at that whole picture, as bizarre as it sounds, because you cannot see a conspiracy at every event, but you will look at these events and say, see, this is what they've created in order to get people to think this way. Bottom line is people don't trust other people. And that's why they create all these things.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
I received a terribly distressing piece of email the other day, actually, and I was hesitant to say anything about it because I don't like announcing people's demise before their time, and heaven knows the internet has been famous for doing that. I've been dead on there 3 or 4 times at least. And I got email saying that a recent guest I had had on, Speaking Wind, had died. And then I got another one, and I got another one, and still I thought, no, be careful. I picked up the phone, I called Speaking Wind's number, and I got his answering machine and asked for a return call, and it was his voice on the answering machine. And so I still, to this moment, have announced nothing. I'm afraid it is going to be the first order of business to confirm that terrible rumor. It is apparently true. Robert Ghostwolf, welcome to the program.
Hello, Art.
Been too long since I've had you on. Before
a lot of
we
things happen.
That's right. Before we do anything at all, though, what can you tell me about Speaking Wind? I mean, I spoke to him. Obviously, we did a long show on the air, wonderful show, and he sounded great. And then a few days later, I hear he's dead.
Well, I spoke with, connected with his home in today, because I also got several emails, and I was like, this can't be happening. This man's as strong as a horse.
That's what I thought too.
And he's got a good heart. He's healthy. But it was confirmed to me that on the 22nd of December at 8 a.m. he passed over. He died of a coronary heart attack.
Oh my God!
So
the 22nd.
To his son, White Raven, and to his family down there in the Pueblos, I'd like them to just, you know that a very good man with a very good heart that spent his whole life fighting for peace and understanding will not go unremembered.
Wow.
I'm still in shock.
Yeah, is there anything else we know at all or imagine we know? Because I guess people, how old was he?
He was in his 50s.
50s?
Just a kid. All I know is that it is true, and the family is with the son now, and send our prayers and our support. I know that his son has worked very closely with Speaking Wind, and he probably could use all the moral support that he can get right now.
All right, well, we'll all send our wishes, and in the meantime, I'll try and get that show repeated as soon as I can. In fact, I will do that. So I'm so sorry to hear that. Boy, I guess it makes you think a little bit about your own mortality.
Yeah, mortality touches home real quick.
Yeah, I'm in my 50s. I mean, I could be gone tomorrow. We all could, I guess.
Well, maybe it's time to stop wasting time.
Yeah, maybe it is. So let us not waste it now. If you would, just take a second, tell everybody, particularly new listeners who may not have heard you before, Robert, a little bit about yourself.
I'm an author and an artist and a ceremonial leader for the Métis people. The Métis is a mixed-blood American, Native American. And I've been doing what I've been doing now for close to 40 years, since I was a kid being trained. And I have become known for prophecies and the work that I do with the Native people. And as I usually say when I say this, as mixed bloods, we're the ghost children. Probably a larger percentage of the population in America has got Native American blood somewhere in the family tree. And if we travel through the world, we'll see that most people in the world today, especially in today's world, are mixed blood somehow. And I do not represent any particular people, which is also part of what makes it hard when I do go up and speak, because I'm speaking basically from my own heart and from my own understandings. I'm very close to the Hopi, to the Mayan people, which is where most of my knowledge of the ancient prophecies and the calendars and when these things will occur and how they're going to occur comes from. And that's basically what I'm about in a nutshell.
All right. With regard to prophecy, of course, Speaking Wind had a lot to say about that, and you have had in the past. We have some absolutely astounding photographs tonight on your website, and when we send people up there to see what you're going to talk to them about, your website is going to come to a crawl. So we have taken, I think, the most important four or five photographs and made them available on our website as well. So you all should know that now, and you should get up to the website. These images involve the sun, and they involve the seven thunders. And briefly, let us recap, if you would, what are the seven thunders, Robert?
The seven thunders are prophecies that basically were birthed at a meeting in Taos, New Mexico, of Native elders and spiritual leaders back in the early 80s. I think it was 82 exactly, to be exact. And the seven thunders were the events that would happen that everyone agreed upon from the different nations, that would be essentially inevitable, but they would tell us how close we were coming to the time of purification, so that we would have something to gauge our minds on, as because Native people don't work in the sense of it's going to happen in this year, at this time, at this hour. They base their knowledge on where the stars are, where the constellations come into alignment, and this is how they use their calendars. It basically comes off a Venus calendar, which is what the Mayans use a lot. And if we go back through prophecy, if we go to the Bible, if we go to the Quran, we see that this is the basic method that was used, was to determine dates in the future based on the Venus calendar, where Venus would be in certain times, certain periods, and what would happen in correlation with that. And the Seven Thunders, I think when we spoke about them earlier this year, we had already moved into the Fifth Thunder, which is where we would see strange mutations amongst animals. We would see children being born and animals being born with missing limbs. And we would see the poisoning of the waters, and we would see the three demons come out in the waters, and this is where we saw the Fisteria that was killing all the fish.
Right.
And the thing that we were going up to at that point, and I sort of tried to stay away from the Seventh Thunder, was because when we hit the time of the Seventh Thunder was when we would basically lose time. Everything would speed up. There would be such a quickening, to use a play on words, which you wrote about. And we're at such a point now where things are quickening so much that we have moved several, at least seasons, ahead of time, and we've moved through the sixth and into the seventh. And as we come into the Seventh Thunder, this is when we see a lot of volcanic activity, we see a lot of earthquakes beginning, and we see a lot of strange things happening with the weather. And this is all part of what we'll be talking about with what's happening right now, because I
would. Would you be kind enough to define purification for me?
The purification, in my words, means that we will be purified in our thoughts, in our actions, and the corrupt consciousness that has been allowed to evolve here would come to an ending, because we would be merging into the fifth world. The fifth world can be either the world of paradise, mm-hmm. or it can be the world of complete darkness. It depends on the choices that we make. And the purification was that none of the corruptness would be allowed to go into this fifth world.
Well, I remember when you brought me, thank you so much, the Hopi, and we did the entire show with the Hopi elders, and
right.
they talked constantly about the corruption.
And the corruption can be so subtle, you know. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily evil, although a lot of evil is being birthed at this time, or rebirthed at this time. The corruption is in the way that we turn away from ourselves, we turn away from source, the way we turn away from our own truths. I mean, and if we look at what's happening in society, we've based almost everything on corruption, including the language. If no offense to any of the attorneys, but even the language that we use in our judicial systems, nobody can understand it, and it can have seven different meanings and go from one side to the other.
Oh, I know.
And we're dealing with the breaking up of families. We're dealing with the hopelessness and the malaise in children. We're seeing all of this in the world. We're seeing a situation where we go, yes, the waters are polluted, we have a problem, but industry has to go on. This is part of what we're talking about with the corruption, you see. It can be very subtle, or it can be very poignant and very blatant.
The stories about our environment just go on and on and on and on. I literally stack them up here. On any given night, I could just yank one out and read it. But every day now, I'm getting more and more stories about the condition of our environment and animals that are beginning to die, just plain die. And
in large numbers.
And in large numbers, and a lot of people are sort of just shrugging it off, but obviously something very serious is going on.
Well, also, I think one of those stories you mentioned earlier on the show about the sun, and this is very important for how we're going to find a direction here. There are many stories that talk about certain occurrences that happen in cyclical events. In other words, every so many years this happens, every so many years this happens in the heavens, every so many years we've seen these kinds of destructions.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go through the petroglyphs that are here in North America, or if I go through the Mayan codexes and work with them, there are patterns that appear. And one of the patterns that appears that tells us about this end time has got to do with something that will occur with the sun. And apparently there's been several times throughout our history, and the petroglyphs that I had, that I found in Arizona, after I had gotten through with the Colorado expedition, brought us into a linear form of explanation of how these events had happened, that there had been great destructions here periodically, that approximately 1,200 years ago we had a massive destruction here where all of the trees in the South Midwest just leveled, great forest just leveled. There was a tremendous earthquake. And that many of the rocks that we see, there's this great scorching on the rocks, and we'll see places where trees that have been buried and are fossilizing have been charred. And there was a prophecy that talks about the sun giving birth to a new solar sun, and that it keeps going through labor pains, keeps going through contractions, and as these contractions keep happening on a regular basis, and they are calculated, and the next one is supposed to be within the next 2 years.
The next 2 years?
The next 2 years.
All right, we'll come back to that. Associated Press, today. This is today's story. A disease that attacks the bone structure of young fish has now wiped out 90% of Colorado's wild rainbow trout in six of the state's best trout streams. The study by the Colorado Division of Wildlife also found that whirling disease, you've heard of that, has reached now 12 of the state's 15 trout hatcheries, threatening the state's $420 million a year fishing industry. They said, quote, it's like getting pounded by a sledgehammer, end quote. That's it. I mean, animals of all sorts, at the lower end of the chain, albeit, but nevertheless, creatures of the earth are beginning to die out. There's got to be a big, big message there.
There's a big message. What are people going to hear it? This goes on now with the sun. 2 years ago, essentially 2 years ago, there was an alignment. And the alignment happened between the planets and the constellations.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, somehow, the sun didn't get into the right position the way it should have been, which is an important thing, I think, to bring out as we go through prophecies. People very often confuse prophet, psychic,
I know,
and empathic together. They are three different terms for three different things. When you're working with prophecy, it's like, it isn't like, it is doing a form of remote vision. And you lock in on a timeline, and you proceed linearly along this timeline, and you pick up information of things that will occur based on circumstances at the present time, they evolved.
Well, when I did the show with the Hopi elders,
right. They
seemed convinced, Robert, as you recall, that the events coming are now events that virtually cannot be stopped. In other words, they're just about locked in stone. Do you agree with that?
In the bigger picture, yes. In the bigger picture, yes. We've now hit a point where we can no longer turn back the clock.
I call that the point of no return. Hold on, we're at the point of no return for the break at the bottom of the hour. You know, that point in the Pacific, as you go across the Pacific, where you have to keep going because you don't have enough gas to go back, we're there.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29, 1998.
Actually, my guest this night is Robert Ghostwolf, Native American Mate, Robert Ghostwolf. He'll be back in a moment. We're talking about prophecy. By the way, let me repeat this this hour. I got this very, very interesting email which says, Art, it's from Dave in San Jose. I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but Drudge, Matt Drudge, has said on WABC that he's going to break the biggest story ever in 2 weeks and that it will shake up the whole world. On record as saying it has nothing to do with politics, used phrases like, after the dust settles, we'll assess the impact, and shake up the whole world. Phrases like that, what could he possibly mean? Somebody sends me the following email. Art, well, let me think. Earth shaking? Dust settles? Whole world? Biggest story ever? Hey, Art, can you say deep impact?
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the Republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
This one may be true. I've got multiple reports now, so I will read it to you. It apparently occurred in Scotland. It's entitled, Storm Sparks Major Nuclear Alert at Plant. A full-scale emergency was declared at a Scots nuclear station when fierce winds knocked out the power to cool its reactors. Last night, the plant remained shut down after bosses pressed the alarm button on Sunday. They couldn't restart the backup generators, vital to keep the reactor's two cores from overheating. frightened staff were called from their homes and battled for 5 hours to manually try to reset the safety systems before the cores went, in quotes, critical. A boss also was rushed under police escort to Hunterston B in Ayrshire, wherever that is, it was claimed. The astonishing situation sparked fears of a Chernobyl-type reactor meltdown. Happened after storms took out the national grid twice in the space of 12 hours. The first time, at 11 p.m. on Saturday, the emergency backup generators at the nuclear plant switched on automatically, but there were not enough staff on duty to manually reset them before the grid went down a second time at 11 a.m. on Sunday, leaving the plant bosses helpless. An investigation is being carried out by the Nuclear Installations Inspectorate. A spokeswoman said last night, quote, two of our inspectors were called in as soon as the alarm was raised on Sunday. Our investigations continue. There was no power to the system that cools the reactor for a number of hours, and we do consider this a serious incident. End quote. That's from the Sunday Mail, the Daily Record and Sunday Mail. Bet you hadn't heard that. Robert, welcome back.
Hello.
All right. Our son. You have several photographs of our son taken by SOHO, which is a satellite out in space, I believe about a million miles, which looks at the sun. We had lost SOHO for a while, and they somehow regained it.
Well, we just lost it again.
We lost it again?
Yeah, we lost it again just a few days ago. After we had done the Impact 2000 event in Las Vegas, and we brought out information about it, and we brought out information about the weather anomalies, and that it was from the SOHO site, like within about 7 days, 8 days, we got news that it's down again, and it'll be down for several months.
For several months?
So, to quote Richard Hoagland one more time, oh my God, they've killed SOHO again.
Before SOHO died, however, it did snap a few interesting photographs, and somehow or another, they fit in with some prophecy, don't they?
They absolutely do, and before we go into this, because you and I are famous for bringing down the web, if I could give just two numbers out so if people do lose contact, they can call up, because we have like over 600 pages of correlated prophecies here that we've come up with in the last year.
All right.
And we're putting out a newsletter so that, because there's so much, that the only way we could approach it was by putting a newsletter out every month to put up updates on everything that's happening based on the prophecies and on scientific evidence.
Okay.
That the prophecies are occurring. And we have an 800 line, 800-905-8367. That's 800-905-8367. If people are in Canada, they can call us in Washington at 509-465-1606.
What's the name of the newsletter?
It's called The Wolf Report.
The Wolf Report. Good.
And we'll have people from Richard Hoagland to Dr. Stephen Greer to Zachariah Sitchin reporting information to us, the Mayan elders, the Hopis, information to us almost on a weekly basis.
All right.
So it might be something that, if people want to find out what they're going to do in the next 12 months, they might want to keep posted.
It's going to be an interesting year, isn't it?
This is a movie. We're about to enter a movie. To get to the sun, why the sun? Why did I pick the sun now? You know me personally, and you know that I have extreme reservations about the UFO community.
I know, yes.
Too much backstabbing, so on and so forth.
Yep.
The minute anything comes up, they're too busy to get into an argument and fight rather than find out what the actual facts could be. Well, we were told in the native world, based on our calendars and when these things would happen, that beginning, going back to Hale-Bopp from the Native American point of view, this was the comet that represented the two tails, the twins. When the twins were in the sky, we would have time to change our ways. But once the twins were no longer in the sky, certain things would be set. And we would know that within 18 months of the twins disappearing, we would see the purifier come in the sky. Now, the purifier would be stationary, and the purifier represented those that some call the watchers, the ones who were watching how we were progressing. Within, when the purifier appeared in our heavens, we would have less than 3 years before the end time.
3 years?
3 years.
End time meaning?
We would go into the fifth world.
In other words, okay, let's define things as we go. There are a lot of people out there who go, huh, fifth world?
We are now in the fourth world. We come through three worlds. This is the fourth world. It's the world of the animal. The first world was the spirit world. The second world was the mineral world. The third world was the plant kingdom, the vegetable world. The fourth world is the world of the animal. This is where mankind came from, spirit, and moved into the flesh to experience what we're experiencing now in our evolutionary path. We would go through trials at this time, living in three-dimensional reality. We would go through trials of understanding our emotions and how our thoughts worked and how we manifested and how we didn't manifest, until we learned how to walk in this new form in a balanced way. When the end times come, and I always thought it was interesting how no matter where you went, whether you went to Judeo-Christian, or whether you went to Tibetan, or whether you went to Buddha, or whether you went to the Mayan, or whether you went to Lakota, everyone spoke about the end time. What do you mean the end time? And it was that time was basically an illusion. It was created for our experience as we would move into the fifth world. And as we come to the end of the fourth world, this is when we would see many changes and we would have to watch the signs. According to the Mayan calendar, which is probably the most accurate record that's been kept in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
by the year 2012, this world that we are now in, the fourth world, will no longer be, and we will fully be in the fifth world. Today, we have terms like the shift.
Right.
When the shift happens. What was going on from, let's say, the last 20 years, 22 years that was bringing us up to this time of the shift? Because Native people don't, millennium doesn't mean anything to them. Okay. Millennium is a word that we use in our society. Today, it's a contemporary word. But as we were coming into this, we would notice certain things like time speeding up, people speeding up. Whatever the conditions were, they would become greatly accelerated. They would become greatly intensified. Everything would begin to quicken, which is where I came into the term, the quickening, because everything started to speed up. Our time, our emotions, our relationships.
I know.
Everything's just going faster and faster and faster. It's like being on a merry-go-round that has no brakes. Now, as we come toward this end time, again, I refer back to the Venus calendar. If we go back to where the Mayans started to calculate, as far as we can tell with accuracy, we're talking about beginning from 1475, there would be five full cycles of the dawn star. In these five full cycles of the dawn star, our tendency toward war and self-destruction, they refer to it as orgies of destruction, would intensify and there would be total chaos. And that we would then go to a time toward the end of the five full cycles of the dawn star where the dawn star itself would vanish from view. Now, there's not enough time to get into this here, but there are times and locations on the earth where sometimes Venus rises in the morning and sometimes it rises at night.
Correct.
So when we're talking about the dawn star, we're talking about the morning star. And up on my site, if people go later to the full story that I'm putting on about Stargate 2, there are numerous prophecies from the Buddhists to the Tibetans, mm-hmm. to the Bible, to the Book of Mormon, to Lakota, to Hopi, to Mayan, that all refer to the morning star. And all of the prophecies are based upon the morning star. When we come into these end times, and we'll get to them either before or after, we would see certain signs, and the signs would tell us that we would have to look closely through the heavens, mainly watch the sun, because those that would be coming, our ancestors, those that would return from beyond the stars, promised that they would come back with these signs. As we look toward the heavens, as I've done numerous things now over the past year and a half intensively with the Mayan, we kept saying, it's going to happen very soon, but people aren't listening. So my job, being who I am, I always get elected for the fun jobs, was to correlate what they were trying to tell everybody with prophecy, because they've gone several times to the UN, they've gone several times to, they've had motion picture people come in and documentary people come in who would say, well, we'll present all of this, we'll bring it out for you, but no one was listening. They said, but you can talk to the scientists, they talk to you. Tell them to look for these things, and when they see these things, maybe people will understand how important these prophecies are. Because we are literally out of time. So what does the end time mean? I said to the Mayan elder in Yucatan, and he said, it means the end of time. Time will literally stop. I said, well, what do we look for? He says, well, the star people, they'll come back from the sun, and there's a specific period. The period will be between December 15th of 1998 and February of 1999.
In other words, we're in that period now.
We are now in that period. Now, when you are dealing with many nations, when I'm dealing with what the Mayan have to say and what the Hopi have to say, besides the fact that most of the time you have to drive there by car, because they don't believe in telephones and modern technology,
all right,
you piece together what people are saying. Now, the Mayans are talking about this specific time. The specific time is the time that the purifier appeared. Now, there is this time period where the ships will come, light ships, the ships that we saw in the heavens, the ships that you see in the Egyptian tombs, the ships you see in hieroglyphics, the ships you see in the petroglyphs.
Those who have been here before.
Those who have been here before, our ancestors,
are coming back.
And they will, and that correlates totally with the purifier being in the sky. Now, what brought me to these pictures was we have been watching not only the weather anomalies for the last 2 years, because how do you prove a prophecy? How do you know that a prophecy has substance? I mean, there's, what's the difference between a prophet and a lunatic? It depends on the time of day. You know? But if you say that something's going to occur, and it occurs, then suddenly you get the Snuff Candle Award, and you're the prophet of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Exactly right.
But if you say it's not, it's going to happen, and it doesn't occur, it's like, well, that didn't happen. When we looked at what was going on with Soho, we started to notice some very strange things in the photographs.
By the way, just let me quickly stop you, because I know what we're about to get into, and we're up against the hour, but I have talked to not just prophets, but remote viewers who work, I believe, as prophets. I share that view with you, by the way. Who keep saying, something is coming back. Now, I've heard that phrase now from any number of people I've interviewed, that something is going to return. And that does fit in, doesn't it?
Well, here's a quote from the Mayan prophecy about what's happening with the Dawn Star. It says, that which is to come in the future is merely that which comes again and that which was.
Mm-hmm.
This will pass from this plane forever. This time will pass from this plane forever. For all will become that which is in the turning of 3.5 days.
In the turning of 3.5 days.
So where we are now and what people can look at. And before we even get into that, because I know we're going to have, 5,000 people come up and say, well, I've seen that, or this is not what that is.
I know.
That's good. I am not saying I am the President of the United States and I'm authorizing this, because I know better now. What I'm saying is, we looked at something. I have footage that is unbelievable, but I can't figure out how yet in our tech department to get it to show clearly on the Internet. We have been able to produce this film where you can see beyond a question of a doubt. Now, I don't know if that's deliberate that you can't show it on the Internet. But what we're looking at is something that everyone should look at and decide for themselves. Because we've looked around a lot, and I know Stephen Greer has some incredible footage of UFOs.
I know.
But we're looking at lights.
Now, I heard, this was not too long ago, Robert, I heard that Soho had captured an unusual image, the image, they said, of a comet that could not be seen here on Earth, but was seen by SOHO. Is that true?
Well, they call it a comet. They also called it Mars because it had a reddish color, like the purifier. That would be the red comet. And they've called it Saturn. But I think when people look at what we've put together, I don't think it's Mars. And the reason why I'm bringing this out now is because this is the time that the elders said they're coming home. We are now in the final days. The clock can no longer be turned back. All we have to do now is walk forward. It's the time where we walk in two worlds. Part one foot is in this world, the fourth world, the world of the animal, three-dimensional. The other world is in the fifth world. And as we look at what's happening with our bodies, as you look at what's happening with our emotions,
mm-hmm.
as we look at what's happening with our animals, as we look at what's happening with our weather, we're reaching a point where now I understand what they meant when they said to me, in this time, in these final days, you will not be able, we cannot prophesize anything because things will change so rapidly as these worlds merge back and forth. And when we looked at the sun, and we looked at the pictures that we have now over a year, I've got thousands of pictures that we're working with, and I showed it to the Hopi and the Maya, and they went, that's them.
Hmm.
And when I looked at it and I showed it to the scientists, they went, my God, this isn't just light. This is not a natural occurrence.
All right. On that note and that tease, we've got the photographs on the website right now. You can go to Robert's website, of course, through ours, or see the photos on our website as well. So you might as well head up that way and take a look.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
I'm going to do something a little different right now before we go back to Robert Ghostwolf. And when I say different, you know me. My affiliate in Arizona is KAAA at 1230 a.m. And they're in Kingman, Arizona. Is that right? This is my board operator there, huh?
Hi, yeah.
Hi there.
This is Dan over here, board op over here at KAAA.
Hi, Dan. How long have you been my board operator there?
About a year.
About a year now.
Yeah, I got some sad news, though. I think we're going to be going to full automation, so I may not be your board op here. But anyway, I am right now, and I basically got this job because I enjoy your show, and I enjoy the topics that are covered on the show, and If I wasn't working here, I'd be home listening to you. So,
well,
I get paid to listen to your show, so that's a pretty good deal.
Pretty good deal. Okay, Dan. Well, it's good to know you're there, and you're operating for now. Sorry to hear you may be replaced by a machine.
Well, you know what happens.
Day and age we live in these days, I guess.
Well, see, we already got computers here, but we're going to have a computer operating the computers.
A computer operating... Well, listen, you should make yourself available, because Y2K is coming up very soon.
So yeah, right.
They may be back to humans before they know it. Anyway, yeah. We've got kind of a human story at the moment, and I want to bring the other side of this human story on. And the other side of this human story... Oh, no. Oh, no. We goofed it up. I goofed it up. Can you believe that? I'll tell you what. Let me take a commercial break and see if I can reorganize this. I've got to do that anyway. And then comes the humans part of the story.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
All right, let's try this again. Hopefully you're back online with me.
Okay, I'm here.
Good. Now, you met a girl.
Yes, I did.
You met a girl. And you met her because you were at a library, it says in the facts, trying to get to my website.
Yeah, okay. Well, the deal is you've got pretty much the hot website. Even people that don't listen to your show, I know, go up to your website because it's very interesting.
I know.
And I'm one of these unfortunate guys that would like to get up there but don't own a home computer, so I just got inventive and took suggestions and went down to the local college library, because at the time the local library didn't have computers up and running yet. So the college library did, and they're real good about it. So, you know, they'll help you find a book. They'll help you find Art Bell's webpage or whatever you need. And so I sat down and I, you know, plugged in the www.artbell.com and hit enter, and somehow or another it didn't work. And I guess I looked around like I was pretty lost. And this girl that was sitting at a terminal next to me kind of noticed I looked like I was lost. And she kind of glanced over and said, "Oh, you're trying to get up to Art Bell? I was just there. Here, do this." And she could explain what she did, but... it was sort of a fluke, she said. It looked like I did everything right, but somehow it was like it just didn't work purposely so she could help me out or something. I don't know, but...
Synchronicity.
Yeah, it was one of these deals anyway. I mean, you know, you got something good going when you meet somebody that's just got off Art Bell's webpage, you know.
So this is how you met this young lady.
Yeah. We met and we just, you know, became friends and got to be better friends and better friends and better friends, and... Now we're at the point where I'm calling you because I wanted to ask her something.
All right. Are you really certain you wish to do this on national radio?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was looking for a good way to do it. We just took a trip to Sedona recently, climbed Bell Rock, and I thought, gee, should I pop the question? And I thought, I don't know. All right. I got to do something special, so.
All right. Here she is. Deborah, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
You sound nervous. You know you're on national radio.
Yeah, I caught on to that.
That's really, he's telling me a true story now that it's the way it occurred. You helped him find my website?
Yeah, I had just been up there and I had had a similar problem where I got this error message that said something about could not locate server. And what I had to do was click the OK button and hit enter each, and I did that about 5 times and I finally got on. When he did it, when he got the error message, I just hit enter once and it just automatically brought us to your web page.
And apparently together in more ways than one.
Yeah.
That's quite a remarkable story. Well, my friend, it's up to you. I have nothing more to say, so the air is yours.
Well, thanks, Art, and I just wanted to say I really appreciate your show, and I think it's really brought a lot of people together in different ways. I've got my family listening to the program and talk to, you know, a lot of other people, and, you know, it just kind of word of mouth, it catches on. I guess that's how you wind up getting affiliates. But anyway, we started getting more and more into the subjects and into your show and wanted to get a chat club going, and we've done that. We've had our second meeting last month, and anyway, Deborah Ann, you know I really care for you a lot. I really love you a lot, and I wanted to think of a special way to ask if you'd marry me, and I thought I'd like to do it on Art Bell's show, and will you marry me, sweetheart?
Yes.
Wow. You know, I was...
Thanks, sweetie.
I was afraid she was going to say no. Or I've got to think about it or something. So you're really going to marry him, Deb?
Yes.
Wow.
We'd kind of already discussed it a little bit.
Do you have any idea, the two of you, when this might occur?
No, but I think the next thing is we've got to figure out something just about as oddball and unusual for where and how to get married. But, but I figured since we met by, you know, because of you and your show, I figured, you know, this would be kind of a creative way to ask her if she'd marry me. And I kind of told her that, you know, about, you know, that I'd like to ask her the question sometime. I've never actually popped the question and, you know, never directly just asked her. We just kind of hinted around about
it. It's kind of hard to ask that question anyway. Or you wiped the sweat off your brow.
Yeah. We get along really good and, you know, it's one of the things we have in common. I guess we're kind of, you know, strange like I guess a lot of the listeners are. But, of course, you know, maybe the ones that are strange are going to be the ones surviving into the new world, you know?
That's exactly right.
But really enjoy your show. And, you know, I was sitting here rolling a tape earlier on Robert Ghostwolf. And definitely like to say hello to Robert Ghostwolf if he's out there, if he can hear. I don't know if I'm taking up one of the phone lines that he was on or whatever.
Oh, he can hear you. I want to wish you both a wonderful life together. And... I can't think of a better time to be doing what you're doing.
Well, Art, I know your wife means, I mean, I can hear it in your voice, I can hear it in your thoughts and everything. That anytime you bring up the subject of your wife, I know you love her very, very, very much. And I love this girl, I think, equally as much as you love your wife.
Soulmates. And, the word is soulmate. The phrase is soulmates.
Well.
That's what it is. You know? Do you know what I mean by that, Deborah?
Yeah.
Well, listen. The two of you, be happy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Art. You've done me a huge, huge favor. I'll send some good karma your way.
I think Deborah's still not quite standing straight here.
I think she's blown away a little bit. Anyway, sorry, Deborah, if I put you on the spot. I faxed Art earlier,
okay.
And you know, Is it okay
to put you on the spot, Debbie?
Yeah, I guess so.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks a lot, Art.
See you both later.
I'll give you a fax if we come up with some kind of creative thing and set an exact time, but I think we're going to go ahead and do it before the computers crash, because who knows what's going to happen after that.
You've got it. Take care of you two.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll keep rolling tape and keep the show going. You guys are doing a really good job.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks a million.
There you have it, folks. That's the first time I've done that. That was a marriage proposal and acceptance on the air. Poor Debbie. She had no idea whatsoever what was coming. No idea at all. I set her up, and she answered the phone, and I said, "Can you hold on this Art Bell?" She said, "Huh?" So, there you are. All right, back now to Robert Ghostwolf. Robert, welcome back.
We're back.
It's the first marriage and acceptance I've had on the air. So
Art, is it really true? You're becoming the medicine man of the airwaves.
I hope not. We were about to get into something very serious, so switching from something lovely to something very serious. Would you explain about the images up on the web right now, what they are, what you think they mean, what we're seeing?
These are NASA photographs taken by Soho. Let me explain. They're not taken as stills. These are stills from films that Soho runs. And what we did was take freezes from those films and catch images in various configurations and positions.
All right.
And if we go to the are you at the Stargate page? Two. We can go through this linearly.
Okay, listen, I'm telling you right now, there are going to be, gazillions of people going up there very quickly. And so it's going to be very, very difficult for people to get to the specific photos. What we'd better do is tell them the full collection of the photographs is available on your website, which is wolflodge.org.
Wolflodge.org, or it's available on your site as well. Keith's got that loaded up.
Yeah, if people will go to my website, www.artbell.com, the one we were just talking about, and you scroll down to Robert Ghostwolf's name, we have put up selected images which you will be able to download right away. Soho 1, Cruiser 1, Soho 2, Cruiser 2, and Cruiser 3. So let us begin by beginning with Soho 1. Could we do that? Because everybody's going to be able to get that very easily.
Okay, well, what we have here is a photograph that was taken back in May, the still that was taken in May. And if we look over to the left middle part of the image, there's a disc in the middle. So let me explain the disc so people understand what they're looking at. The disc is a filter that keeps back the glare of the sun. As we're looking in the center of the disc, we're seeing a round circle, and the round circle represents the circumference of the actual physical sun. As we look to the left of that disk, we see what NASA said was a comet. They said they found a comet, so I said, well, where's the comet?
It doesn't look like a comet.
No, it doesn't look like a comet, even in this little tiny shot. And if we go down to the...
Well, even stay with the shot for just a second. Soho 1, it's very clear... It's very clear. Now, there's only two things I could imagine this can be, and I'm looking at the entire photograph. I see no other apparent anomalies. You can see a few stars in the background.
Right.
And they come through quite clearly. I see no other artifacts, what would be called artifacts, but this object to the left of the sun.
Which looks like the rear end of an Edsel.
It, well, or, you know, some would say a flying saucer. It kind of looks like a flying saucer, frankly, Robert. A ship?
Well, yeah, you could say that, but NASA said it's Mars.
Now, that doesn't look like Mars at all.
And there's a photograph on that same page that is the actual NASA presentation where they say, here's a comet, but if you look at the picture, the comet that they had, there's no comet. That comet doesn't exist. And
well,
then
no,
they say,
now you're confusing me. They say it's Mars, or they say it's a comet. Which,
well, when this was discovered and questions were asked, they said that we discovered a comet. And we go back to the official photo that NASA put out, which is this photograph. And if we were to look at the upper left-hand corner, this photo's just below that. It says C-1998 J1 Soho. They have a picture of a comet, which obviously does not appear in the original film footage. Okay? It's just not there. And what we're showing here is what they have pointed out as Mars. And they said it was Mars because
Mars.
It has red glow.
I don't see the red in this photo anyway.
No, not here. But if we
Mars should appear as a round globe or a star.
Well, that would be my basic contention, is that Mars would look round, and it would be... This is obviously not round.
No, No, it's not
it,
round.
It looks closer to an image that Billy Meyer might have come up with.
That's right. You said you're not all tight with the UFO community, and there's a center of brightness, and then there is a lesser brightness on each side of it, and one doesn't have to wander too far to imagine it looks more like a ship than anything else.
Yeah, it looks like wings.
Wings, almost, yes. But not Mars.
No, not Mars.
So this is an actual unretouched Soho photo. Is that correct?
This is right from their film. This is directly from their films.
All right.
Now, if we go to the second photograph of Soho, I have an enlargement on the second page.
Showing the apparent structure.
Where we went into that specific area and we showed a blow-up enhancement of the structure. Now, this is not a comet. There's no way.
This is not a comet. But what the hell is it?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask people out there to wonder what it might be.
You know, when you look at the blown-up image, which, of course, is beginning to get a little pixelated because it's so blown
right.
up, you could imagine that it's a large, ungainly rock.
A large, ungainly rock. Well, if you go to the next page, we have an animated GIF that shows it over a time period.
Yes.
And your large, ungainly rock is obviously doing some sort of a new dance that I haven't figured out. I don't think that Mars moves like that.
Okay.
It's on page 4.
All right, getting to page 4 is going to be tough stuff because a lot of people are going up there right now.
And just below that, we have another enhancement of it, which clearly shows this is something not from this world.
What are you referring to specifically now?
When you get to the animated GIF, if you have the animated GIF up there.
I'm trying to get to Wolf Lodge right now, and it's already locked up, Robert, so you're going to have to provide descriptions for people. There's just no way I can say I'm not going to get to it. Again, we have Soho 1, Cruiser 1, Soho 2, Cruiser 2, and Cruiser 3, and the bulk of the audience is going to be able to get to those photos only.
Okay. Well, see if Keith can get you. He's got the whole site downloaded. See if he can get you to the animated GIF.
All right.
And just below that, we have another enhancement which shows that this is obviously not a comet. It is not a planet.
All right, Keith, if you could retrieve the animated GIF for us, and also you said the following image.
Just below that on the same page, which is page 4 on what he has, is another enhancement of it, a larger enhancement where we try to correct the pixelization.
Okay, and so what you're saying is, whatever this is, it's...
whatever this is, it's not behaving like a planet. At one point, we were even told that they were registration marks. I don't believe registration marks dance.
Dance? Well, I'll look forward to seeing that animated GIF. Hold on, Robert. We'll see what we can do. We'll see if Keith has it, because if he doesn't, he's not going to be able to get it. The site is already swamped. And I must admit, the first Soho photo, if you look at it, you know, that thing looks like a lot of stuff, but... not Mars. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. Well, definitely is the first marriage proposal and acceptance that we've had on the program. Wow.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the Republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Well, I've got it here. And you know what? Robert Ghostwolf is absolutely correct. This animated GIF, Robert, we've now got it up on the website.
Right.
And I'll be damned. This thing is going back and forth while the sun and the shield of the sun mm-hmm. remains absolutely motionless.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the stars moving with respect to the position of Soho, but this damn thing isn't going in one direction. It's going laterally back and forth.
Oh, it goes laterally, and as people can view down the rest of the pictures later.
Holy smokes!
It moves from one side of the sun to the other side of the sun. It moves down to the lower part of the picture. It comes back.
Have there been any inquiries made of NASA about this? I mean, this seems really incredible. Now that I'm sitting here looking at it, this is amazing. And for those of you who don't know, you can go to my website now, www.artbell.com, scroll down to Robert Ghostwolf's name, and you'll see Book 1, Book 2, Website 1, Website 2, Selected Images, Soho 1, and so forth, and then a new one, Selected Image, Animated Cruiser, and this thing will blow your mind. What the hell could that be?
I don't think it's behaving like a planet or like a comet.
No.
It's just vacillating back and forth. It moves from one part of the... It's like the field of the camera. What we're looking at is the field of the camera that was actually on the films. And we're seeing it move, you know, quite a distance back and forth. And this basically shows that it's almost like it's hovering back and forth. And as we go through other pictures later, or as people scroll through other pictures, they can see it from one side of the field of view for it moves where it is now to the left. It moves all the way over to the right, to the lower corner.
Yeah.
Then it moves all the way back. Then it moves up. I don't think that planets navigate.
All right. So what do you think we're seeing?
Well, what you're seeing, if we can somehow get you to the... I have to figure out what you're calling it. If we go...
I don't know what to call it.
Two pages beyond that. I have some very interesting black and white blow-ups. They're called desaturated enhancements, which is where you take the color out of it. Remember we looked at the blow-ups with the color?
Yes.
Well, we did some enhancements of this that were desaturated, which means that we remove all the color value from the image.
Right.
Okay? It reverts it back to a black and white image.
Right.
Now, if you have those there, that's I could tell you what page I'm on because I don't know how Keith labeled where you are, but it's on page 6. If that means anything to you, or Keith can get that. These are what blew me when I looked at this. these black and white desaturated enhancements. They are obviously something structured. They look more like the SOHO satellite itself than it. This is not a rock. This is definitely not a rock. Now, have there been any responses from NASA? Every time the information starts to come out and we come out with more pictures and we present more information.
I mean, that is an obvious question. You would go to NASA.
It's an obvious question. What happens is where the satellite goes down.
All right, I'm going to ask again. What is it you think we're seeing here?
We're looking at a lightship. We're looking at a very large lightship. We're not looking at some small little thing. And if you can get to the desaturated photos, the black and whites, this is a mechanical structure beyond any question. It's clearer to me, no offense, Richard, but it's clearer than the things that were done on Mars for 20 years. This has, it looks like a motor, like a giant motor, and this is what's inside that pulsing light. This is the structure that's inside the pulsing light. So we're looking at what the elders say in Maya are the ships that are coming home.
At whatever is coming back. That's
whatever is coming back.
Is there.
Is there.
I'm sitting here looking at this animated GIF, and that this is the one that's freaking me out, because you can see, clearly see the stars moving as the stars would in a star field. You
correct.
Can see the sun staying stationary relative to the SOHO satellite, which it ought to, completely stable, and this damn thing is going back and forth. Impossible.
And again, you know, what I have, what we put up here is like the pinhead of all the archives that we have observing this. I'm talking about we have footage of this thing where you can actually see it go from one field of side to the other side.
Now I do see
it moves up, it moves down. It's
right.
Obviously navigating.
Right, I've got you.
Or something's navigating.
Something's navigating. I do see two pixel dropouts, but they're very obvious as pixel dropouts and have nothing to do with this object in the animated GIF.
Right.
Sheesh. How far out is this object? Do you have any idea?
I have no way of estimating how far out it is at this point. We've turned this stuff over to some physicists who can probably figure that out.
Astronomers, I would think.
I think it's farther away than Pahrump.
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah, the animated, the first SOHO photograph, the straight SOHO unenhanced photograph got me, but the animated GIF really got me. This is incredible. And what is your belief with regard to, your belief, what is,
my comment?
Yeah, your comment.
We're told that in this time, specifically as we move into 1999 and the year 2000, that there will be a war in the heavens, and that the war itself will touch upon the earth, and that our solar brothers have promised to return to help us. And when we look up in the skies, we're told to look for the lights, and look for even the lightning to take on different colors and become very strange. And if we think about some of the storms that we have been experiencing, we're seeing different colored lightning, lateral lightning. I mean, it's been an incredible light show going on over the last year, 2 years, especially the last 6 months. And we're told also that what we have to, that these will come back between December and February, and that they will watch the events that happen here, which brings us into more of the prophecies. But we're told that they are the watchers. that they are returning, and that they will be interacting with us. The date here is, if we go to the winter solstice of 1999, that's when Venus will come up, and we're told to look for two possible signs. If when Venus rises, that it's white, it has the color white, the hue of white, that we would enter a time of great awakening, human compassion, incredible times, the golden age of peace.
Mm-hmm.
But if we wake up on that winter solstice date and Venus should rise and become the color of red, the color of blood, then we would move into dark times. And we would move into a time when we would see World War III, where we would see massive destruction upon the earth. And it would reach the point where, if the destruction of the earth were at stake, that these brothers from the stars would intervene.
And you believe that intervention is on the way?
I believe that the audience is here to see what we do. If we are going to be so foolish as to keep blowing up atomic bombs for the sake of seeing who's got more, if we keep blowing things up in the ocean, if we turn around and experiment with harp waves and alter the weather patterns, there are things that are going on now in South America that we do not know the news of yet. We're told that there's flooding. We're told that there's mudslides. But what we're not being told, and I have lots of letters from friends in South America who write to me and say, how come the news isn't getting out about this? Where we see hurricane kinds of storms stay stationary in one area for 5-7 days.
I know.
Walls of rain. And when Richard Hoagland came out with the maps, and we were looking at the maps that were coming off, which my gal, Liz Edwards, is the one who's been archiving a lot of those maps that he's got. And we went through them, we found out that where these disturbances were happening were where these donut holes were. Okay? These perfectly...
Yeah, I was about to ask if you had any comment on the radar images that Richard had posted. He seems to clearly think they indicate weather manipulation, and you apparently agree.
It's absolute weather manipulation. I'm taking a bunch of archives now, and I want to get together with Nick Begich. Dr. Nick Begich up in Alaska, he's been on your show.
Oh, sure.
And he's the one who wrote the book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. And he's got a lot of technical information about how that works. I know what I'm looking at. I know what I looked at with Richard. When we were in Vegas and we did the Impact 2000, and we came out with the information and saw it as it was unfolding, and we found out that, one, where these circular storms which create strange snow and ice and rain in a circular pattern, and then in a matter of hours they're gone. They just disperse. They're gone. It's like they were never there. But each one of them is over a military base. Every one. And the ones in North America that he took. Every single one is over a major military installation.
May I stop and ask you a question? As we noted at the beginning of the program with you tonight,
yes.
Speaking Wind is dead.
Yes, he is.
Now, I don't know how to ask you to comment on this, but was there any history of heart disease with him?
There was no history that he told me in our conversations.
About
that at all. He had a lot of plans for the future.
Well, he was also, though, giving some information here on the air that many would consider very controversial, very upsetting to those who heard it. Prophecy, much as you are doing now. And do you
feel that he might have become a target?
Yes.
Yes. I strongly feel he was a target. People are getting upset now because the truth is coming out. It's no longer just people speaking it. It's like we have evidence of it. We have their own evidence, the scientific evidence of it. We have the evidence of diseases, manipulated diseases. I have so much information that's been gathered with people that I'm working with to back up what I spoke about in the Seven Thunders when I spoke about the green mist that would come. And the strange viruses, these globs of jelly-like substance that fall from the sky, and specifically here in the Northwest, very much so here in the Northwest. When something starts to happen, and someone's bringing out something that's controversial, that's not necessarily controversial, but when it starts to hit home, and when it makes people have to question the information that they're being filtered, then perhaps they don't want that voice to speak. In speaking Wynn's situation, he was a personal friend of mine. We had been working on some mutual things together. And he had some information that I don't believe they wanted to get out. He had information from ancient documents, from Mayan elders, that specifically detailed certain events.
Was that information that got on the air, or information that never made it to the air?
Hasn't made it to the air yet. But it did make part of it, a small part of it, made it to the publishing companies and Celestian Prophecies.
All right. Shortly, what I would like to do is turn you over to the audience and allow them to ask questions, particularly those...
You have to get the black and white pictures.
...that have seen the photographs that are up there. Well, black and white or not, I'm telling you...
These show, I mean, this looks like it was put out in, out of the Brooklyn Navy Yard, which was still there. I mean, these things are better constructed than things we see at General Motors. David Adair would get a kick out of these.
So, this is the beginning of, or we are now entering the Seventh Thunder.
We are in the Seventh Thunder.
We are in the Seventh Thunder as of the 15th of December.
We've been here since June of last year.
Since June of last year. Yeah, but you did give a specific between...
We were told about visitations in the calendars, in the timelines. It told us that between December 15th and February, that there would be windows opened, and that we would start to see lights in the heavens, and that our star brothers would be returning, and they would make various landings, not necessarily on the White House lawn, and that many of these landings would take place at the ancient sacred sites, specifically that of the Mayan who we work with the most. The Mayans also told me of these return visitations, where there would be ships landing in the Middle East, and that we should watch very closely what happened with Saddam Hussein, because he was preparing for this in his understanding and his belief. He understood these prophecies as well. So why? Why would this be going on? This is not the War of the Worlds I'm talking about. This is not Orson Welles. I am not talking that something's coming to invade us. I am saying that here is evidence that has to be looked at. We have something out there that is not just a rock. And there's more than one. There's several of them. They are very big. They're tremendous. When you look at them in comparison to the size of the sun, when you look at how they're moving on the film, and when you do various computerized enhancements to show you the different parts, I don't know how to put this in proper technical terms. So I'm going to say this. When you do a desaturated enhancement, you can see the physical structure. Then you turn around and you put color in it, and you can see the lights pulsing and moving. It's right out of Spielberg. The lights are pulsing and moving. These are organic ships, ships that are capable of moving through dimensions in time.
All right. All right, Robert, rest for a few moments. When we come back, we will open the line. So if you have questions, particularly, obviously, if you have seen the photographs, if you've seen the animated GIF, or if you have questions about the Seven Thunders, and we are now in the Seventh Thunder, we're going to go to the phones when we come back. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. Robert Ghost Wolf will be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. You may not have time. And I think that's what we're saying tonight. That line always bears listening to. Good morning. Stay right where you are.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Not everything is cut and dry, and I think people will look at events and say who profits, who benefits, and then they back into it with their theories, which many people would say are conspiracies. I mean, there's no question there's a facet of government that wants to take guns off the street. Not just assault weapons, but pure right. guns. They want to get them out of Americans' hands. In order to do that, you need tragedies and events like we had in Connecticut in order to create the stimulus to get the legislature and people behind that in order to say, you know what, they're right, we don't need this, we don't need that. So I think when you look at that whole picture, as bizarre as it sounds, because you cannot see a conspiracy at every event, but you will look at these events and say, see, this is what they've created in order to get people to think this way. Bottom line is people don't trust other people. And that's why they create all these things.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
All right, very interesting. I'm getting messages from as far away as South Africa listening to the show right now, listening to Robert Ghostwolf. Going back to him at the moment. Robert, you're back on the air again. You know, I wish that we could say publicly what you told me privately. And we can't, can we?
I don't think so. Not yet.
All right.
There's a lot of information that the elders have. And I think I've gone through this several times on the show previous shows. It takes a lot of courage to come up and bring some of these things out that they know, because their lives become very endangered, both from inside and outside, so to speak, meaning from inside their own circles to outside the circles. You know, just a couple of months ago, there was a real big meeting in New Mexico with some of the top people from NASA who called in Native elders from all over the country because they presented the fact that based upon the way the world was going, it would take 500 years to put it back. But they felt that the Native people understood ways that they could make this happen quicker. And what input could they put into what they told? And I just think it was incredible that NASA actually turned around and did this and called these Native elders together down in Albuquerque.
Well, they must have had a reason. I mean, they must have had a reason. Normally,
well, why do they keep watching the Hopi Reservation waiting for them to get ready to go underground? Because they know that the clocks are understood. I think that what people have to understand here is that there's some incredible things that are going to happen. This is going to become like a Hollywood movie, yes. But we do survive. We will survive. We come through this. There is something beyond this. We come through this, and we come through a better people. It's not the end of everything. It's the time of change, because we have ignored all of the warnings.
All right, back to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Hi, my name is Stacy. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, Stacy, you're going to have to yell at us a little bit here.
Okay, sure. Is that better?
Oh, so much, yes.
I had two questions for Robert. One of them is I've never really heard anything about this fungus. Do you kind of watch what you eat because of it? I mean, wouldn't it be polluting our bodies?
Yeah, it's polluting your bodies. It's polluting your grain sources. It's polluting your water. It's polluting everything.
So where do you get your food at?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually.
Greenhouses. It might be time to put up greenhouses. Then you can protect what falls down from the air, because this thing is sprayed from planes. And the planes fly over, you see them leave these strange trails behind them everywhere in the sky, crisscrossing. And all of a sudden, a few minutes later, an hour later, you notice these phosphorescent little clouds popping up. And then all of a sudden, it rains, and then it's gone. And all of a sudden, you'll notice, like, well, where did the birds go? They were just here yesterday, and they couldn't keep the bird feeders filled. And now all of a sudden, they're gone. This is something that we saw up here this past summer, where one day we had 30, 40 hummingbirds coming to the feeder, and then all of a sudden they were gone overnight. They were just gone.
So basically there's really no way around it. We're probably consuming it no matter what we do.
We are consuming it.
The other question I have for you is I told you I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, and we've had, like, the bizarrest weather this winter. You know, like, we've only had two dustings of snow, and we've had, like, 50-degree weather this December, and usually it's, like, in, you know, 15 degrees minus or 30 degrees minus. It's really cold, and I think the weather change was really bizarre, and maybe that's something that's going on for the beginning of it already.
Well, that's your harp manipulations.
I'm sorry?
That's the harp manipulations of the weather. I mean, we just had 54 degrees below zero the other day in Montana, and just a week before that, it was in the 50s.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, dear. Wild card line, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Brad from Brunswick, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. I found this thing on the internet. It said the Week of Tabernacles prefigures the seventh thunder, also called the seven last plagues. I want to ask Ghost Wolf if he thinks any of those plagues are upon us now.
We're in the middle of them.
In the middle of them.
We're in the middle of them. There's still things to be awakened. We have a very narrow window here where, depending upon if we lay down like sheep or we stand up and don't allow it to happen and we say, yeah, this is going on and this can't happen, then we can change things. But otherwise, the thing about the prophecies that I work with is to show that they're all telling the same story.
Even like in Revelations, people just aren't paying attention to it, are they?
They're just not paying attention.
Actually, the seven thunders, parallel the Bible.
Seven trumpets.
Right down the line, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
In Virginia.
All right.
Good evening, Brother Ghost Wolf.
Good evening.
My question to you, I've heard several times during the show this evening, you said that the watchers in the sky, getting back to the Soho photographs and the Sun Cruiser thing, are they organic things? Are they spiritual things? That's the first question. The second question is, I guess it goes along with the email that Art got a little while ago, is I sense a lot of worry and fear in you, and I was wondering as to why.
Well, I think I answered part of that. The other thing is that I am extremely upset over what happened to my friend Speaking Wind. There aren't many people who stand up and try to get the truth out and walk and wave hard, and it seems that every time somebody does, something happens, and then they just seem to disappear. Now, are they spiritual? My question to that would be, if man was not man, would there be spirit? So who's to determine what the nature of spirit is? Spirit is an anomaly that we try to describe, and we've spent thousands of years trying to describe it. And we say, well, it comes from the invisible world, and yet better than 98% of our world, and what affects us is invisible.
True.
So spirit is a matter of interpretation. Does it matter if you're Indian or Hindu or Tibetan or Catholic? No. Spirit.
We're all brothers under the skin.
We all come from one mother, come from one father. We all have the same needs, the same desires. What we've got to do now is eliminate the separation, because it's an illusion. There is no separation. We're just human beings.
Okay, and now you say that our brothers, our spirit brothers, or our space brothers are coming back, or that they're already here. What is meant by they're already here?
They're already here on this planet.
They've been here.
They've been here. They never left.
The Aborigines, so to speak, the original, the first ones.
The Aborigines, the Anunnaki, the people in the Hollow Earth, Admiral Byrd, all of the testimonies have been there. They never left. We live in a world that's very hostile. No aspersions on the man up north of me. But to find something and then bludgeon this being to death, maybe it could have been handled in a different manner. Maybe the dog attacked him. What would you do if you went to a place and suddenly you saw an animal that you never saw before? You never heard this noise before, and all of a sudden it was jumping all over you. You wouldn't know. Maybe it was an accident. But you see, the thing is, our first impulse is John Wayne. Our first impulse is to shoot, talk later. We better watch what we're shooting at, because there's something a lot bigger than us coming.
Well, I'd like to make a quote from an email that I sent to Art. I don't know if you will find this to be true. But basically what the quote says, if man continues on his present course, he will bring the downfall and extinction of his own species. In other words, we need to get back to living in harmony with Earth Mother and with each other.
We have to turn the car around.
All right. I appreciate your call. And west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hi. Hello.
Brother Art?
Yes.
Brother Robert? The Holy Spirit in me bows to the Holy Spirit in thee. This is Brother John in Tucson, Arizona. I'm a retired aerospace engineering scientist. At the height of my career, I took a little over 7 years off and spent the time on the desert in prayer and meditation. During that period of time, I also took two round-the-world trips in which I spent time with great spiritual leaders in every one of the world's religions. A good portion of those times were spent deep, deep in the Himalayas at the feet of beings of light and being taught by them, and then coming back to the desert and putting the teachings into practice. Everything that you say, Brother Robert, is so. In the visions that I have had given to me by the Holy Spirit, I have seen these Star Brothers come, and in these terrible times, they will take many, many, many of us up away from this destruction.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. And there have been some people that have done that. They've sort of dumped their technical life and gone away and become spiritual.
Seeing more and more of it every day.
Yeah, it's really true. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Richard from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Listen to you on KWHN 1320.
That'd be the one.
I've got a question. Do you remember hearing a day or two ago that Iraq had shot down an unfriendly airplane?
They claimed it, yes.
And no one's claiming the airplane.
We certainly said it wasn't one of ours.
I heard Europe wasn't claiming it was one of theirs either.
That's correct.
So whose was it? Or was it an airplane?
Or was it a false claim? We don't know.
Uh-huh. But Mr. Ghost Wolf was talking about the UFOs are supposed to be landing over in Middle East.
Well, that's a good point.
It's something to think about.
It's something to think about. I certainly don't recommend Iraq as a landing point.
I don't recommend vacation it either, but you never know.
You never know. You're right, and I appreciate the call. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi. Hello there.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Didn't know it was my turn. This is Mario from Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Enjoying your show on KGO here at 11:50.
Thank you.
And Mr. Ghostwolf, it certainly is a pleasure to hear you speak. Certainly, you've spoken some very, very serious biblical truths here tonight. I just happened to be listening, and as I did, as a matter of fact, this week I'm going through, the Holy Spirit is guiding me through the book of Revelation, and I kind of stopped short of my study today at chapter 9, and when I had turned the page this evening, chapter 10, verse 4, clearly defines the seven thunders. And you said two very interesting things early on in the show. Number one was that this is the time when time should be no longer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that's found in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 6. And then what's really interesting when you talked about the prophets, and it says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which you talked about, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Hello, Mr. Ghostwolf. So, may the God that created the heavens and the earth and the foundations upon which it sits continue to bless you. Born-again believers, I have a message for you. Open up your Bible, open up your ears, open up your heart. It's that time. God bless you, Art Bell. Have a great night.
You too, sir. Thank you very much for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
All right.
You know, Robert, I'm listening to you talk, and it's all very, very interesting, and I hear a lot of people on Art's program who talk about the end of time and that we will endure, but they all of you seem to keep coming back to this fear-based thing. And I would like to put out there that we also need to reinforce in people that we are, even genetically speaking, so much more. There's a physio-spiritual connection in the human race that empowers us beyond any of the changes and the probabilities and possibilities of what might be happening. And if you can take masses of people away from that element of fear by empowering them with the knowledge that they can really transcend it, that not one out of a thousand people can make it, but that all of us can make it, because spiritually and genetically, we're wired that way.
We all hold that potentiality.
We do.
But it's a matter of us taking the responsibility of taking that action.
That's true.
If we turn around with blinders and say, no, this isn't going on, and we allow it to occur, and we say nothing, then we might as well have joined the hand of the aggressors. It's time now to say, no, this doesn't have to be this way.
Right, and more and more every day I hear people saying, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. And to me, that's a very good sign. People that are otherwise oblivious to these things and seem to not notice or to not care, moment by moment, something will happen, and you hear, it doesn't have to be this way. And I think that's a great sign. And another thing that I wanted to say to you about this space, brothers, today at sunset, I walked outside, and I looked up at the sky, and I saw this most amazing cloud formation. It was like a huge golden frame, sort of a rectangular shape. And empathically, I sensed the presence of some sort of sentient life force out there, and telepathically got the message, they're coming, they come. And I thought that was interesting. It reminded me, I was thinking about Alex Collier's talking about the flyby, and I thought, well, just maybe they are going to show up.
Maybe they won't come by in a form that we expect.
Yeah, that's very possible.
And again, the whole thing is, how do we respond as beings? It's like if you were to go out to the desert and have a spiritual epiphany and see a spiritual entity surrounded by glowing light, how would you respond? And that's really the message behind this is what's happening. It's not so much fear-based. It's a matter of, please wake up. This is starting to happen. What are you going to do? Are you going to take responsibility for it?
In the case of many, I sincerely doubt it. But that's pessimistic me. All right, stand by. We're at the bottom of the hour. My guest is Robert Ghostwolf, Matey, Native American, and he'll be right back. Stay right where you are.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
The world was on fire and no one could save me but you. Strange world desire will make foolish people do. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd...
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
That's one thing I never step on. Good morning.
Thank you.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the Republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 29th, 1998.
Back now to Robert Goswolf and the final segment coming up. Robert, here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Goswolf. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Mr. Goswolf. Mr. Goswolf, Robert, how you doing today?
Okay. Where are you, sir?
I'm in San Francisco Bay Area, actually in Redwood City, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting you, Robert, kind of during the summer when you were here at Veronica's.
All right.
Yeah, I was there with a pretty Greek woman.
Yes.
Anyway, I had a question for you about, I'm very saddened to hear about Speaking Wind, and there's one thing that he said when he was on a show, and he mentioned this gentleman or this being called White Eagle, and I was wondering if you knew anything about him, I wasn't sure if Speaking Wind had actually had a near-death experience or not, and then crossed over and met this guy in spirit and came back. And there's a bunch of books out by this White Eagle.
I don't think that Speaking Wind was speaking about that same individual.
Yeah, okay.
I think he was speaking about one of his ancestral spirits.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To my knowledge, unfortunately, I can't confirm it.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry about it. I really wanted to even talk to the man, too, myself about it, but unfortunately I won't get the chance. But I just got one quick thing, too, is my fiancé seems to think that the San Francisco Bay Area is going to be a safe place to be through all these changes, and I keep on telling her about the rising ocean waters and all this other fun stuff that's going to be going on, and I guess Popo has not actually had the major eruption that it's expected, but like you said, when it does go off, the whole, you know, it's going to go all the way up to the Cascades. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically you agree with me on that, huh?
Well, what we're seeing is that everything's building up. All events are building up to something.
Yeah.
Something is coming, something. All of these events cannot be a matter of coincidence.
Yeah, I
and we're building up to something. But, you know, keep this in mind. One, remember Speaking Wind's message to always come from the heart.
Uh-huh.
And if you come from the heart and live in truth, you don't necessarily have to worry about stuff.
Yeah.
Because things seem to work out.
Well,
the other thing is, one person living in balance, a lot of things could be happening right around you, and maybe you'll walk right through the middle of it.
I'm not worried about it anymore. I pretty much have come to terms with that.
But I wouldn't put a house up on the beach.
No, I wouldn't either, you know. But, hey, once again, I want to, you know, thank you for coming out to California and doing that. That was really nice of you to do that. I heard you don't do that very often. And, Art, next time I go to Vegas, my fiance has a non-surgical lift mask. You're doing all these TV appearances?
No, I'm not. Doing as few as I can.
Oh yeah. Well, you got your little webcam there. You know, we want to make you look younger. No charge.
All right. Thank you. I don't know if I want to look younger. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Good evening, Art. Robert. You know, just an observation and question. You know, God does not give the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Sound mind. And with that in mind, perhaps Robert, is not prophecy given as a warning in consequence of those calamities which can befall us? But the one thing you brought up is that perhaps if we lose faith in doing the right thing and trying to address past injustice and be responsible stewards and clamor for security and invite tyranny in, might this be the invitation to tyranny come as a wolf in sheep's clothing to invite the rest of these things?
All right.
I think it's a message that says you can change this all in a day. You can literally change this all in a day. All you have to do is turn around and come from the right place. All you have to do is stop living the paradoxes in your own life, and then a lot of that confusion will just go away.
Yeah, but you know, that said, there does come a time, it seems, when prophecy becomes fixed as a reality that is either upon us or about to be upon us. And the Hopi said that, and I'll never forget it, that no, there was this great long pause, they said, it cannot be changed. It is now fixed, and that's why we are speaking, because it is going to happen.
We're at a point now where if we don't do something now, it's not going to be a pretty picture, because we're bringing that on ourselves. It's like, how many times do you have to tell a child, don't steal the cookies? They're too high up on the shelf. If you go up there and you climb that ladder, you'll fall down. And the child refuses to listen. It continues to climb up, and then one day it falls down. The thing is that we have done too many things in the opposite direction. And I also don't want to... I have no desire to spread fear, because now I don't know fear. But anything can turn out to be a good day. It can always be a beautiful day. At the same time, yes, we are now at a precipice. We are at a point where either we turn it around, these things will happen. There's certain things that will happen. This is the end of time. Nothing's going to change that. I don't want to spread this illusion that all we have to do is be good and close our eyes and everything will be okay, and someone will come and lift us up. This is not what this time is about. This is the end time. This is the time of responsibility. And if we don't take that responsibility as individuals for our spirituality, for our truth, then we will change nothing. Because we're coming out of the nightmare. This has been the nightmare. We're going toward the dream.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
Okay, sir, where are you?
My name is France, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I hear you on WLS.
The monster.
Yeah, the monster. Actually, I got a question for you first before I ask Robert a question.
Sure.
I was wondering on your website if you happen to have a list of the radio stations that you're on.
Yes, we do.
Because I catch a couple of them DXing.
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. So if I just click your site, I could just I just get it?
You can print it out.
Okay, that's what I'll do. Thanks. My question for Robert, I guess, I mean, It seems like almost most of my questions that I had for him have been answered already by all these different people. But it's just kind of ironic that I'm here on the end of the show. I was just, I've been calling for 2.5 hours on speed dial to get through. And I told my friend, I said, I've got a feeling I'm going to be on the show and I'm going to be one of the last callers. So since all that happened, I figured I might as well just go ahead and ask my question. And then when I called up, of course, here it seems like I don't have a particular question already, you know, figured out. But I guess my question really is, for Robert, is what's your spiritual background or your any kind of religious background, what is, you know, particular belief that you have? And since a lot of people have called up, you know, and they've been quoting Revelation and the Bible and everything about this match and this and that match and that, I just kind of feel like, I guess my question is, Robert's here, this is going to happen, nobody could stop it, I've been listening all night to the radio, dialing like a maniac to get into this show to talk to you. I you know, it's not so much what I believe or what I don't believe, it's inside, I don't feel nervous or scared about this, let it come. You know, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ 10 years ago. I particularly don't even care, to tell you the truth, as far as spiritually, because I know I'm okay, I know I'm set. My question for you, though, is how are you spiritually? What's your background?
Okay. Robert?
I walk in a Native American way. I've done it most of my whole life, especially since my manhood. And I don't just do it on weekends. I do it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that path has brought me to meet many people from many spiritual walks, from Tibetan lamas to people that come from pure light to Aboriginal people. And I think it's a matter of the spirits inside. You know, there's no label for what I am. It's not a religion. It's a way. It's a way of looking at it. It's a way of saying, well, this is the same Tunkashala, grandfather's spirit, that's in all things, period. It's in all things. It doesn't know a difference. We're the only ones that put differences on things.
This is interesting. Within the last year, there was an article in the science section of the New York Times about an international conference held to discuss the disappearance of amphibians everywhere, Australia to Austria to Boston to wherever, all amphibians are dying and or disappearing. The circumspect scientists at the press conference were moved to inquire, could this be the canary in the mine? Owing to their porous skin, it has been postulated that frogs and company may be the first warning that our air and water have been polluted now to the point that life may no longer be sustained. And that really is basically what she said, isn't it?
Yeah. When the frogs go, the rain's going to go. The water's going to go. That's the message of the Kogi Indians from Colombia when they said the frogs are leaving and the Andes Mountains are turning into a desert. When the whales go and the dolphins go, that means that we're going to lose our memory. Because that's their medicine. That's what they carry. They carry the memory of the whole planet. When they go, we'll be like a hard drive that's lost its memory. And when these animals start to disappear, and the word is disappear, where do they go? How come they're just ceasing? When we see plant species that just disappear, well, it's a sign that conditions, regardless of what we try to perpetuate,
right,
to justify our existence and our actions, something's happening on a major scale. Because most of these things that we're talking about, they cannot find the reason for it. There's no logical explanation for it. And the thing is that these animals seem to disappear before something happens.
No, it's true. Most of the science articles end in speculation, with the scientist saying, we're studying it, we don't know what's going on, we don't know why it's happening, we confirm it's occurring, the coral reefs, the Antarctic problems, the ozone, all the rest of it, we confirm it is occurring, but we don't know why. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Art. Good morning, Robert.
Hi, where are you, sir?
I am calling you from Stargate Records here in Los Angeles. I'm
okay.
A recording engineer.
All right.
And I'm sitting here listening with my jaw on the floor because within the past few weeks, we just finished recording a CD by one of our artists called Oxygen. His CD is called Back to the Genesis. And this kid wrote 21 tracks that is talking about the same things that Mr. Ghostwolf has been talking about all night long, concerning the Anunnaki and the flooding and all the different things that are happening around the Earth. And I wanted to ask him, with all these references to these particular ancient prophecies and so forth, if I'm not mistaken, I remember hearing or reading something about the appearance of a false prophet that is supposed to try and deceive the Earth, etc., etc., and
sure.
People will go off running behind that.
And the Christians would call him the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the questions I wanted to ask him about, and I also wanted to find out if there are going to be any particular safe havens. Like right now I'm in Los Angeles, and this is not going to be a pretty city to be in if things start to really happen in a major way, because there's just so many people concentrated in the city. And I wanted to know if you all were aware of any safer havens, I should say, where people could gravitate toward should the cities begin to shut down in terms of getting food and water and things of that type, basic necessities.
Well, I will put it to you this way, sir. If something did come down, I wouldn't jump in my car and desperately try to get to L.A.
Well, no, I'm going to be jumping in my car trying to get out of L.A.
Okay.
You know that old movie Escape from L.A.? That would be me.
Yeah, all right. So a couple of questions there, Robert. The Antichrist, is there the equivalent in Native American lore with regard to, or prophecy with regard to a figure that the Christians would know as the Antichrist?
To my knowledge, there's not a particular entity. There's many things that tell us about people who would be leading people astray, people that would be coming up and using ancient knowledge that has been recorded for a long time for the purposes of manipulation, which is partly why the indigenous wisdoms are kept so cloistered and so close to heart, because they don't want to let that happen. There's no particular entity, but there is a realization in the Hopi that we have discussed in Circle and the Mayan that there is an entity coming from the other world, the other brother, the younger brother, that will create great miracles, because he will understand these things that we know.
All right, we're woefully short on time. His final question was about safe havens. He didn't particularly feel safe in Los Angeles.
Well, to use old Indian wisdom, head east, young man.
Is that old Indian wisdom? All right, well, listen, we've come to the end of another one. I want to get it out for you one more time. You have a newsletter now that's brand new called The Wolf Report, and you can get it by calling one of two numbers, either 1-800-905-8367, that's 1-800-905-8367, or area code 509-465-1606. That's 509-465-1606. Robert, as always, it has been a great pleasure, only shadowed by the sad occurrence with Speaking Wind. May he rest in peace. Thank you, my friend. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night now. Thank you.
That's it, folks. If you would like a copy of this program, you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. Good night.